Welcome, everybody, to the frigid edition of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. At least it's we're having service today, one day in advance of the cold weather, so get home and get your milking and feeding done early tonight in anticipation of that. Welcome, everybody, to the service. We want you to take part. Help us to sing and grab the gray book here, the favorite gospel songs, and we'll do what Sister Donna was gave us the interlude there, where we'll never grow old, number 76. We'll do all three verses, 76. Sounded good. Let's just get the next page right there next to it, just over in the glory land, number 77, first, second, and fourth verse.
Thank you. I know you was worried about the piano playing, but you did a great job. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one out today. We're so thankful that you've been able to come into the house of the Lord today. We have a beautiful Lord's Day, don't we? It just doesn't feel beautiful. It's cold, and we're hoping that the weatherman is wrong. Right, kids? Kids are shaking their head. No, we wanted snow. We are glad to see each and every one with us today, and I hope everybody can be safe this week. It's what I want you to do, and just take care of yourselves and make sure that the weather doesn't affect you in a bad way, whether it's just the cold or the snow or whatever it might be. I just pray that we can all be blessed in a great way and be safe is what I want us to do. But for today, let's get our mind on the Lord. That's what we want to do more than anything today is just get our mind on the Lord's work. We talked a little bit today in our Sunday school, or before Sunday school, our lesson wasn't on this, but Brother Stuart talked a little bit about a revival in our land. And I think that is something that we need to be praying for. We had the Great Awakenings back in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, or mid-1800s, I guess I should say. And if you do not know what that was, it was a revival that broke out basically from Maine all the way down into the South. Went through all the southern states all the way up to Maine. And it was a revival that broke out that in which there was hundreds of people saved. I should say thousands of people that were saved. The church was moving during that time, and it wasn't just among Baptist people. Actually, it started with the Methodists and the Presbyterians is really where it started. But they really all came together, and in a true way, they preached the gospel. They preached it in such a way that people started breaking down under conviction and were trusting God to be saved, like we saw here in times past. And there has to be a starting place. Let's just say it that way. I think the original one, it actually started, from my understanding, in the U.S., up around Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and that area. But it could start right here in Murfreesboro. You know what it'd take? Us just worshiping God and giving Him our time and our honor and our glory and our prayers for the lost and the lost coming under conviction. And it could spread throughout this town. And wouldn't that be a great thing? That if it got over here into just this town here, and I don't mean this basically in view of people revival, but I'm talking about a true revival. And let's say it got over here in the university. And the university, it went through all the kids that were there in the university, and they carried it back to their homes. Now, Sister Heather will probably tell you how many different states are represented in, in the whole country, that's what I figured. Yeah, and if it went back to where they were, Lord have mercy, what a great revival that would be. And we probably got somebody in the crowd, and I've been right there with you. Ah, that can't happen these days. I've been there. But we serve a great big God. And He is a God that can bring something like that about if we truly want it. If we truly want to see people saved, if we want to see a revival, not just a few days worth, but one that spreads throughout weeks, even months, even years. I think the original Great Awakening lasted about 20 years. Boy, that was a big revival, wasn't it? Then the second one, I think, was close to that. Big revivals. and we could see something like that happen in our country. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the only thing that's going to save this country. It's the only thing that's going to save this country is people turning to God and truly turning to God. But it starts with God's people. That's what it does. I need to get off of that. We're glad to see everybody out today. Glad to have our visitors with us. As always, we appreciate each and every one making an effort to come out to the house of the Lord today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? Let's do remember Elizabeth in our prayers. Somebody else? Yeah, we need to remember Bodine family. Josh passed away and was still a member here, best I understood. And he was in Texas, but we need to be prayerful for his family. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Let's do remember Miss Shirley and Brother Key. Brother Key sent me a message, said they had a better night last night. And it's just a slow go, I guess is the best way to say it. And we do need to remember her. Somebody else. I was thinking about the different ones to pray for. I was thinking about Brother Sonny and Sister Linda, and here comes Brother Sonny in. I'm glad to see him, good, and I appreciate him coming on in. But you think about Sister Charlsie. There's others in our church, and I'm probably going to mess up. Brother Lowell, we're glad to see Sister Barbara today. Good to see other Sister Barbara down here in front. We're glad she's back with us. She's been down. Several of our members have been down. We're glad that everybody is making an effort to get back into the house of the Lord today, and you're getting better. And we need to continue to remember those that's been sick and that the Lord will take care of them. Any other prayer requests? Appreciate everybody being here today. We want everybody to pray in your own way. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Sean, will you start our prayer, please?
Thank you. While we continue our singing service, let's be prayerful for service today. And let's ask for leadership in our assembly. In that light, let's turn to number 216. Lord, lead me on. 216. Thank you. I don't think we've sung it in a while, but I'm feeling pressed to let's try that 217 right there at the bottom of the page. 217.
Grace on me. Rise with love in me to prepare God.
last song, let's do an old standard called Victory in Jesus, 206. 206.
Had to smile a little bit. Brother Sam come over to shake hands with me. I said, are you coming to help me up? sometimes this cold weather on my knees, it gets a little stiff, we'll say. I do want us all to be careful with the cold weather and take care of yourselves, but be prayerful for one another is what I want you to do. And keep covered up. These times, I see people, we stopped at Walmart yesterday afternoon. I had a funeral yesterday afternoon late, and I asked you to remember that family. But we stopped at Walmart to pick up a a light bulb, basically, is what I needed to go in my old well house. And I watched this boy come out, short pants, tennis shoes, could have had sandals on at least. But I thought, son, tomorrow you're going to have to cover that up. And but I about guarantee you he would have had shorts on. Let's cover up and take care of ourselves is what I'm saying as much as anything. And I just hope we can be about God's business wherever we are. And does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further? I always try to ask that because God knows how to run a service and I don't. And I believe it's proper for us, if the Lord is impressing upon us to talk for Him, we should follow Him in that, in those things. And so I just hope and pray that we always do that, that we always ask God for what He wants us to do. And I'll say this, if in a service, if you've asked the Lord for something to do and He gives it to you and you do it, you'll get a blessing out of it. And so just follow the Lord is what I want you to do. Anytime. And like I said, I believe the Lord knows how to run a service a lot better than I do. And when I run a service, it's not very eventful. When God runs a service, it's eventful. And it's something we remember. We're glad to see everybody here today. And as we said, we're glad to see our visitors. And I just pray that we can all be what the Lord would have us to be today in this service. If nobody's got anything on your heart, turn to the sixth chapter of Genesis. The sixth chapter of Genesis. As a little bit of background, we'll say, sixth chapter of Genesis is where God has looked down upon the earth after He had created everything. And He has looked at it, and He has said, that place needs to go away. Man is sinful. They are way worse than I ever intended for them to be. That's paraphrasing, I guess, is what I think. I hear people say that it's worse than it's ever been. Not yet. Not yet. I think the days of Noah were the worst that it's ever been. I personally don't think we're far away from it, from what I read, but I want you to understand, it was worse in Noah's day than it is now. If it was as bad as it was in Noah's day, we'd be out of here. We'd be in heaven today. And so let's be prayerful for those that needs to get saved. For that reason. But Noah in that day, the Bible talks about that God decided to destroy everything. And you know how the story went, that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God instructed him to build an ark. And building that ark, he built it in God's plan. Now, this is not my message in this part of this, but I want to kind of get back to what the thought is today. I quoted the verse, the eighth verse, where it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what we generally say is that God looked on Noah and He decided by him that He would repopulate the earth at that time. Now, if you look at that phrase and what the word grace there means, favor. It means God favored him. He impressed God, I guess you could say. If we have a person in our midst that does above and beyond, it impresses us. It gives us an idea of something that the way it should be. So Noah impressed God with the way He was. Now, I'm going to ask you a question today, and this is my thought today. What did Noah do to impress God, to find grace in the eyes of God? What did he do? We're going to have about 3 points. There's a lot more in this chapter than just 3 points that Noah did to impress God. Really, from verse 8 up to verse 1, there's not that much about what impressed God about Noah, that he found grace in the eyes of God. But we see in the next few verses some of the points that I'm going to try to bring out. It says in the 9th verse, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now, the first point that I want to bring out to you today, that Noah was a just man and perfect in his way. Now, what that word perfect means, it was righteous. He was righteous in his ways. And basically, what we can say about that just, being just, getting back into our sermon, our Sunday school this morning, being just in that way, he meant that he lived a good life. He followed the laws of the land. He did that which was good in the eyes of the people. Now, I'm really and truly, the way the world was in that day, I'm not so sure that they were impressed by Noah, by his goodness, by his lawfulness, by his actions that he did among those people. I'm not so sure that it impressed the people around him that much. If you think about it, if you know somebody that is really godly, and I hope and pray that you think about yourself. I don't want to esteem myself greater than anybody else. That's what God tells us to do in the New Testament, not to esteem ourselves higher than anybody else. But if you think about individuals that you know that are just, that are righteous in their living, and you start to watch how the other individuals around them, I'm going to say the sinful part of the world, how they deal with them, they kind of are in a state where they're a little bit envious, but mainly they just ridicule them. They will say about them, well, those people, they think they're better than anybody else. I've got news for anybody that might think that I think that I'm better than anybody else. I'm not. I know who I am. I'm not better than anybody else. But the fact of the matter today, what we're talking about is being a just person. And this was what Noah was. He was just in his ways. And I really and truly believe that the people that heard him in those days really didn't like his message. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Peter, what he says in the fifth, or second Peter, I should say, what he says in that verse was that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Yes, he was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he not only preached the word of God like I do here today, but he also preached it with his life. His justice, his being justified in the eyes of God. Him walking in the ways that God would have him to do in his life. But I want you to understand something today. There is something to living a just and righteous life. There is a beginning point to that very fact. And what you'll find in the third chapter of Romans, the third chapter in verse 26, it says, Paul says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him, of him which believe in Jesus Christ. Now, what he's saying here, this is the place where that we begin to be just. It is in the fact of being saved by the grace of God, being a believer in Jesus Christ, being one that is not just a believer in partial words or just in actions, but being a believer of the whole heart, being a true believer in God is the starting point. We understand that the beginning of wisdom is to fear God, is what Solomon said. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God, to respect Him, to know Him. And in that is where we that are saved, we start being just. We start to have a justified heart. And that heart becomes something that works to the outside, or at least it should. I want to say that. It should work to the outside. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they were a group of people that believed that they cleaned up the outside and that made them worthy of salvation. But Jesus said unto them, you need to clean up the inside of the cup first. You clean that part first, that the outside might be clean also. When Jesus justifies the heart, that makes the inside pure. People saw Noah's justice. I don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us where Noah was saved at. But we understand by the scripture here that there was a time that he was a just man and a righteous man. Not only on the outward appearance, but on the inward part also. Now, this was one of the points that God saw in Noah. Let me ask you a quick question before I go any farther in this message. If it came down to it today, if there was a question in God's mind, would you want God to have grace on you? Would you want to be found in the grace of God or not? You think about the situation that Noah had gotten to right here. The situation was everybody in the world was evil and Noah was righteous. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I can't really back it up by the Bible other than by a few things. I believe Noah was one of a few that were saved at that time. When I say a few, I mean, I believe his father was probably a saved man. He had taught Noah the ways of God. His grandfather was Methuselah, whom God blessed to live the longest life of all men. 980 some odd years. And I believe he was with God. Now, the man that Methuselah's father was a man by the name of Enoch, and it makes a statement about him that said that he walked with God. Now, that's the second point that I want to bring out today. Because it said about Noah there in that reading lesson, not only was he a just man, but he walked with God. How many of you, I know we've got some that run together, walk together. And if I had to guess, when you're running, I know it's hard to talk, but those times when you stop and you start resting a little bit and you start going along, I'm satisfied there is a conversation that comes up. Am I not right? When you get with somebody, a friend, or even just a casual acquaintance, and they're there with you, you start to have a conversation. You may walk along for a little ways, but you start to have a conversation. Now, we use it in church, but the world doesn't use this statement that I'm fixing to make very much. And what we call it is, we have fellowship. We do. I'm going to tell you as a church today, probably one of my favorite times in this church, other than being in the pulpit here, is when we meet here, either for Joyful Hearts or on Wednesday nights, and everybody is gathering in, and we just sit around or stand around, and we talk among each other. We hear what is going on in their lives. I've heard about Brother Rodney's business over the years. I've heard about Sister Ruth's different things that's going on in their lives. Same thing for Brother Adam and Brother Trey and the other ladies that come. But we sit and just talk, and you know what I do? I learn about you. We call it fellowship. I grow in my knowledge of you. When I get to come to your home and I speak with you and we talk for a while and I start to learn about your life, oh, it gives me an understanding of who you are. You see, when we walk with God, now God already knows about us, don't we? But the fact of the matter, the more we walk with God, the more fellowship we have with Him. What is part of walking with God? Talking to Him. Listening to Him. Talking to Him about our troubles. Listening to Him about the remedies. You know, most of us, when we start in a conversation, somewhere in that conversation, we'll bring up, my knee hurts. Maybe it's your back. So-and-so is sick. They have this problem. Not too many weeks ago, there was a church member. We was in a conversation, and they were talking about a certain subject. And I said, talk to my wife. She may have a remedy for that. Now, the reason why I said that, because in past experience, she has used some of the things that she's come in knowledge of. You see, when you talk to God about your problems, when you talk to God about the things that are making you happy, when you talk to God about those things and you start to listen to Him about the things that's going to make it right. You go back to Noah here. Noah at this time is instructed to build a boat that is in the middle of a desert. He has been instructed to build this boat, a gigantic thing, I think they say about 3 football fields long. And when he was going to build this, Lord, how? And the Lord gave him instructions to it. He was told how to seal it. He was told the size. He was told everything to be in place in this way, in this manner. God instructing him on these things. And in doing this, he got closer to God. He did. He got closer to God. He was just. He was already saved. But he now was learning more about God. I believe he knew about God. I believe he knew who God was. He knew about his salvation. He knew about the things that God had done in the past for his ancestry. He knew how God had created everything. But now he's getting firsthand instruction. And if you think within yourselves, I could never get that kind of instruction from God, don't sell yourself short. Because God looks at you the same way he did to Noah. You see, in this way that Noah was going, he needed help. And his help came from God. Now, the third point I want to try to bring out to you today is this. Noah was persistent. Now, I don't have a verse right here in this sixth chapter of Genesis about Noah being persistent. But really, if you look at the next 8 or 10 verses, you've got to understand this man, when God had said for him to build an ark, first of all, let me ask you a question. Was he a better builder than anybody else? I don't know. Probably not. Did he have more wisdom than anybody else? Bible doesn't tell us he does. Did he have anything about him that really stood out other than the fact that he walked with the Lord and he was a just man in God's sight and God looked at him in that way? Was there anything that really said that this man could do what God said do? He was obedient. He was obedient for one thing more than anything else. And when God said, you start this, he became determined to do what God had instructed him to do. Let me give you a church example. I've heard the people of this church that about 15, 16 years ago, maybe I've got the timeline exactly wrong, but they decided, they used to be, for you that are new members, they used to be over on Church Street, over in a community area. And truthfully, there was a house on this side and a house on this side. Best I remember, the one time I visited over there, there was a driveway that you could go around behind the house. That was the property on this side. And basically, that was it. They had a parking lot in back. Later on, they bought the property across the street. But they had a group of people around them that argued about that church being there. The air conditioner was too loud. I heard that one this past week. They parked on the side of the road. What do you expect? They done things that the community didn't really like, but they were there. They were showing God that they wanted to be there. They were building a dream, a church in this community. They were building something, even though they didn't know they were building. They were building a dream of God. Cohen asked me this morning, Papa, what's your great dream? I'm not going to tell you my answer, but it's a good answer for us. Good question for us. What is our dream? To be persistent in mine. I think probably one of my better qualities is I'm hard-headed enough to just keep on going. Keep pushing a little bit more for God. One of the things that when I was a young preacher, I didn't think about it that much at the time, but when I was a young preacher and everything, the world was on this side and that side and behind me and in front of me, and I did not do everything right at that time. I want you to understand that. But I found myself in a place where I said, I've got to go preach. I've got to put the word out there. What did Noah do? What did I say earlier? He was a preacher of righteousness. If you look it up, most preachers say that he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. The reason is that when God told the world at that time, that he was going to destroy it, we put that date in there. 120 years later, Noah was 600 years old. He had completed a boat in the middle of a desert. He had completed something that probably everybody said, you cannot do. I'm satisfied there was individuals that said, Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church could not sell that building that was over there on Church Street, meet in a building for a little while, and build this building here on this spot. I guarantee you there was members that said that. I know how us members are. I've listened to how us members do. But it takes persistence sometimes. It takes a desire to bring things out. But Noah, in that day, he was preaching for 120 years. And what I want you to understand, I've heard preachers say that he didn't see anybody saved during that time. I'm going to differ with them. You figure up 120 years, and it said that Shem, Ham, and Japheth was born when he was 500 years old. They was 80-year-old when they went into the ark. What does that tell you? Those three men were saved. Those three wives were saved. And they entered into that ark, and Noah did get to see some success. But one thing, for 120 years and he saw six, you know what we'd do? We'd say, Lord, it ain't no sense going on. He was steadfast in his actions. Now, let's get this back to us today. It's what I need for us to do. Let's get back to thinking about what we as people needs to do here in this today. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians and the first chapter, and I'm going to read you some verses here. And one of the verses is going to tie back in to our other thought. But I want to read verses 6, and we're going to go down through verse 10. And it says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, knowing that you were saved, he said, so that ye come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's what we are doing. And then he says in the 8th verse, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to strive to be blameless in the eyes of God. Then listen to what he says. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We walk with the Lord. We've been called to do that. You were called to be in that fellowship. God called you that you might trust in him and be saved. And then you started a fellowship with him. Now listen, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same things, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It is imperative for God's people to be on the same wavelength. Have one mind is what he's saying. I've got one other verse, and you'll find it in the book of Philippians. And what it says in the book of Philippians is going to tie in with this these verses in Corinthians. Because it's needed in our bodies. I'm satisfied there's young ones that says, well, I can't think like you do. There's young ones that's probably thinking, well, there's no way that I could ever teach Sunday school. There's some of you that's looking around and thinking, Well, Sister Joan does a good job of teaching us, but I couldn't do that. You put your mind in that place. Think about it. You put your mind to work for God, and He's going to help you build that ark. He's going to give you instructions. I told you I had a funeral yesterday. I'm going to just give you a picture of this. I had a funeral yesterday, and I got my thoughts early Friday morning for the funeral. And I had that on, and I said, Lord, I need to get ready for church Sunday. Didn't get nothing. Couldn't get anything. Yesterday morning, as I was studying, reading over the things for the funeral, I started looking at some things, and I found this. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Okay, Lord. He just let me know that's where you're going. I really thought that was going to be the thought. We had a busy day, and we got home about a little after 10 last night, and I went in the kitchen. I got in there, and I got my Bibles out, and I went to Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And then why hit? And I thought, Lord, where are we going with this? And He gave me a little instruction. I went there. And boy, it just all opened up for me. He can do that for you too. He can help you do things that you don't think that you're capable of. We've got some little kids here that are learning to play the piano. By the way, girls, I loved hearing y'all play. I loved Joshua playing last year. Sarah over there, I loved hearing her play. You know what else? I enjoy hearing y'all sing. You may think that you can't do as good as Brother Sam. Hey, I can't either. But I'll make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And what I mean by that is, it might not sound good to your ears, but God likes it. God likes it. If you'll ask Him to help you build your ark and be persistent about it, He'll give it to you. Now here's my verse. Verse 27. And let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. No, it's important to be persistent. But you need to be the same here on Sunday and be the same on Monday. Be the same on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's important. Why? Only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. I told Patrick when he was a teenager, I said, son, you better be careful. I said, Mom and Daddy will find out. And we did. I'm sure we didn't find out everything. And I'm sure you didn't find out everything your kids did either. But you found out enough to know what your kids was doing. God knows. And will know. He said that ye may stand fast in one spirit. You see, this body together built a building here. Some of you were not here. It was a lot smaller group from my understanding at that time that came together to put a building together that we might come in to worship together. But they stood on a principle to build a building, a church building, here on Fortress Avenue that was going to be a light for this community. And that's what this church is. Not just this building, but you, the people of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, you are that light that is shining out into this community. There's not any other churches like this one in this community. And you are part of that body today. And you are to stand fast. It means to stand up straight and hold your ground. Hold your ground. Now, let me finish this verse up and I'll quit. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. That is the ultimate purpose of our church. You know what the ultimate purpose of Noah was as far as the ark was concerned? It basically was to obey God, wasn't it? To basically save mankind and animal kingdom. But they, and when I say they, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his daughter-in-laws built an ark for that purpose, and they strove. They worked at it for a great big purpose. You know, I look around and I see different lost ones that are here, and I'm striving to see that they get saved. I hope you are too. But let me put a little reminder to you. There's people that's not come into this church house today or ever, that if you'll work toward it, they'll be here. You know that? You remember the line out of the movie, and a lot of the younger kids won't know this movie. It's called A Field of Dreams. And it's a good line, truthfully, and a good line for church. If you build it, they will come. Well, they built this building, and a lot of people came. But we're building on something greater, the gospel. If you build it up, they'll come. And that's our message today. Brother Sam, if you would, get us a song. I want us to think about this greatly today. I tell you what, this church, we used to sing a song, Building Up the Building is what we did. And it was always sung when the invitation was given for the church to see people join the church. Now, I'm not asking you to sing that one today, but you follow what the Lord gives you. But if you're building up the temple is what we're talking about. If you're here today and the Lord is instructing you to join this church, you follow the Lord. He's got a purpose in it is what he's got. And you follow the Lord today in this service. I'll meet you down here in front. The church will hear what you have to say as far as the testimony is concerned. If you're coming by letter of a sister church, we'll send for that letter. And if you're here by needing to come back by restoration, you follow the Lord. Brother Sam, while we sing.
103, while we stand. 103.